While Bodit was thus engaged in trying to undo the mischief wrought by others, in the forest hut at Chitrakoot, life went on fairly cheerfully. With Lakshman and Sita by his side, Ram lacked nothing. The grandeur of the mountain scenery and the forest, and the sweet songs and play of the birds, pleased his heart. He forgot the sorrow of his exile from kinfolk and city. "Look, Sita, at those birds playing," he would say. "Look at that rock on the hill with the blue, yellow, and red veins shining on it. And look at these plants and creepers with their flowers. I am so happy here. And I have, in addition to this pleasure, the feeling that I am carrying out my father's promise. We have the joy of duty done, besides leading a happy life here. Over and above all this, I am happy that my brother Bodit is ruling the kingdom." Thus Ram, free from sorrow himself, made Sita happy. Descending from the hill, they would sometimes go to the river Mandakini and spend time there. "Look at those sand hillocks," Ram would say. "And look at the swans playing among the lotuses. The stream is as lovely as yourself, beloved. The streams where animals come to drink are beautifully red with new earth. Look at the saints bathing there, standing in supplication and offering hymns to the sun. And look at the flowers falling from the boughs on the water. And see that pearl-scattering waterfall. We are indeed lucky to be far away from the crowded city. There we cannot see sages and pure souls, such as we see here bathing every day. The hill is our city, Ayodhya. The birds and beasts are our subjects. The Mandakini is our Sarayu River. With you and Lakshman near me, I am so happy and content. How pleasant it is to see the animals drinking water in the stream without any fear. Plunging in the water here, eating fruits and roots, walking about in the forest and climbing the hills. Why should I think of kingdom or power?" Thus, in company of Sita and Lakshman, Ram was spending happy days. One day, as they were sitting as usual on the slope of the hill, in utter peace, suddenly, at a distance, they saw a cloud of dust rise in the sky, which seemed moving towards them. And soon they heard a great noise, as of a big crowd. Ram saw the forest animals stampeding here and there in fear. It looked as if an army had entered the forest. "Do you hear that noise?" Ram said to Lakshman. "The elephants, bison, and deer are running helter and skelter. What could it be? Could it be some king who has come hunting here? Or is it that some tiger or other fierce wild beast has come rummaging? Go take a look and tell me." Lakshman climbed up a tall tree and looked all around. He saw a large army approaching from the north, a complete force of all limbs, chariots, elephants, horses, and foot soldiers. He shouted to Ram in warning, "Listen, brother, a great army is approaching, with flags flying and in complete formation. Let us be careful. Put out the fire. Take Sita into the cave for safety. Let us don our armor and get ready for battle." Ram replied, "Do not be in such a hurry. Look again at the flag on the chariot and tell me which king is leading his army here." Lakshman looked and was filled with anger. "Oh, my brother, it is Bodit. Not satisfied with getting the kingdom, he is pursuing us here. I can see the tree on our flag flying in the breeze. He has come to slay us, but the son of Kaikeyi shall not escape with his life today. There is no sin in killing this destroyer of virtue. The only question now is, shall we wait for them here, or shall we give them battle on the top of the hill? We will make him pay for all the harm he has done us. It is surely no sin to kill one who comes to slay us. With him will be destroyed the greed of his mother. You will soon see the forest paths running with blood. Like a tree uprooted by an elephant, Bodit will be felled to the ground by me. We shall destroy this army. We shall feed him to the beasts of prey in the forest." But Ram said, "I know you can destroy the seven worlds if you are so minded. Listen, you can easily kill Bodit and his army, But there is one thing to consider before you set to work. Disobeying and disgracing our father, and killing our brother, and earning infinite dishonor, what good shall we gain by battling for and winning the kingdom? What we gain by killing our kinfolk will be like food which is mixed with poison. Why and for whom do we seek wealth and kingdom? Is it not for the sake of others whose joy is our own? Who would want to acquire a kingdom by wrong means? And what joy is there in a kingdom which you cannot share with those you love? Truly, I tell you, I will never look at wealth and power that you and Bodit and Satrugan cannot enjoy with me. I know why Bodit is coming here now, and I will tell you. He knows the way of duty. He is coming here to give the kingdom to me. If he had been in Iodia instead of in the faraway land of his uncle, he would have dissuaded Kaikei and saved our father from the great sorrow which has befallen him. I am certain he is coming now to take me back to the city. It is wrong of you to think ill of Bodit and speak such harsh words about him. If it is desire for the kingdom that makes you so cruel in your suspicion, then tell me. I have only to tell Bodit to pass it on to you, and I have no doubt he will do it with pleasure. Ram said this smiling, and Lakshman shrank into himself with shame. Perhaps our father, the king, Lakshman said, is himself coming to see us. After listening to Ram, he was convinced that his fear was improper. He wondered then why the army was marching and thought that perhaps Dasarath was coming to visit them in the forest. Maybe, as you say, thinking that life in the forest was hard for us, the king might have come to take us, and especially Sita, back to the city. But then, we do not see the king's great white umbrella. But whatever be the case, you should stay calm. Lakshman stood humbly with folded hands beside Ram. Halting the army at some distance, Bodit sent a few men to observe and report on the place whence the smoke rose. They brought the news that this was the very spot described by Bharadwaj, and that the cottage was very probably Ram's forest abode. Bodit started forward with Satrugan, Vasishta, and Sumantra. As they advanced, they saw indications that the ashram was habited. There was a path that led to the river, and the trees were blazed on either side of it, as though to make it easy to find it in the dusk. Presently they came to a cottage thatched with leaves, near which were stacks of wood, and the dry dung of deer and wild buffaloes heaped for use in winter. In the cottage on the walls were mighty bows and quivers, full of deadly arrows, swords which seemed to radiate victory, and other weapons, all of superlative excellence. They saw also, spread out to dry on the branches of trees, garments of bark. Bodit beheld all these sure signs of his brother's residence in the hermitage, with a swelling heart. From inside came smoke from the oblations of daily worship. Entering, Bodit saw the altar with its blazing fire, and Ram himself seated by it with matted locks. Though dressed in deerskin and bark, he still looked like a ruler of the world, with his mighty arms, breadth of chest, and a countenance made to command love and obedience. Near him were Sita and Lakshman. He had been thinking all the time of the infamy that had gathered on his head, and wondering what to say and what to do when he met Ram. But now, when he saw Ram, he forgot all this in the great love that surged within him and submerged all other thoughts and fears. He sprang forward to the spot where Ram was seated. He could utter no word beyond, "Brother," and fell at his feet and sobbed. By this time, Sumantra and Guha joined him. Ram saw before him, lying on the ground, Bodit, with hands clasped in supplication, with matted locks and in garments of bark. With grief and fasting, his body had grown lean, and he was tanned with fatigue and exposure. Ram lifted and embraced him and kissed him on the head and said, "Brother beloved, Why did you leave our father's side and come all the way into the forest? And why have you grown so thin?" Bodit was speechless. Ram put to him the formal questions, which members of the royal family asked each other when they met after an absence. After an interval, Bodit gathered strength and gave answer. "Why do you question me about the kingdom, brother, as though I were its ruler? What connection is there between the kingdom and myself? When you are the rightful king, how could I call myself king or rule over the land? My duty is to do you humble service, but it has not been given me to do it. The eldest son should bear the burden of the kingdom. This is the law and custom. Come with me to Ayodhya, wear the crown, and shower your grace on our family and people. The old king's work in the world is over, and he has entered heaven. When you had left Ayodhya for the forest, and before I returned from Kekaya, the king gave up his life, slain by the grief of separation from you. Do not give way to sorrow. Perform the funeral rites of our father. Thinking of you, he gave up his life. The ceremony you perform will alone satisfy his spirit." Thus Bodit steadied himself and spoke. When Ram heard that his father's soul had passed on, he fell down like a tree felled by an axe. Bodit had no need to repeat before Ram all the apologies and explanations which he had to give to Kausalya, Guha, and Bharadwaj. Where was the need for explanations when Ram set his eyes on that grief-stricken body and that ravaged face? Bodit, whose one concern was to take Ram back to Ayodhya, spoke only of this and not at all of himself. The princes, with Sita and Sumantra, went to the river and offered water for the peace of the departed soul of the king. After other customary ceremonies, the princes returned to the cottage. They held each other's hands and relieved their sorrow by loud lamentation.